Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Tobin and Leroy Show. Alex Dono in for Tobin today. Leroy, Vlad, Jay Figg are here. Time for some headlines brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Paisito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or at DoralKia.com. Went till nearly 3 in the morning last night or this morning. I mean, when Leroy woke up, the game was still going on, but the Dodgers get a walk-off from Freddie Freeman. After like 6 hours and 39 minutes, they take game 3 of the World Series to take a 2-1 lead against Toronto. We got local action, Leroy, throughout the evening tonight, 7 o'clock, Florida Panthers hosting the Anaheim Ducks, and the Miami Heat at 7:30. The winner, if the Heat win, they get their first round pick back. Can we put that stipulation out there for the NBA tonight when they take on the Hornets?
I don't think you want to do anything with stipulations anymore.
That's a kind of type of gambling. So you want to remedy a situation by gambling on it? That's not a good look.
I mean, that's what usually gambling.
Gambling got you into this mess in the first place.
Yeah,
not your gambling, somebody else's gambling allegedly.
Right.
But yeah,
I don't know what and everybody's saying technically they don't have to. The problem is not with the injury report. The problem is with the fact that they didn't have to disclose all of that information to the Heat. That is the bigger issue. And I don't know why the NBA.
That, Leroy, is something the NBA now should institute, that you have, if you have other extenuating circumstances like an FBI investigation, I think now they need to put language in where you have to disclose that when you're talking trade.
Or it's the NBA. Why wouldn't they know?
Well, remember, the NBA did their own investigation.
So the NBA did an investigation. They proved nothing. So you know what should have happened? That the NBA should have stood behind that trade and said, if we are wrong and we cleared it and made this trade possible, we can reverse it or give you a pick because we screwed you.
Yeah.
If they told the Heat everything was cool, he's cleared. And he wasn't, because evidently this investigation had been going on for years.
Well, I don't even think they told the Heat he was cleared. They just didn't tell them there was even an investigation in the first place.
So, yeah.
Like, in their minds, oh, because we cleared him, we don't even have to tell the Heat that we investigated and cleared him.
Right.
So I think that's a problem. Elsewhere, Miami Dolphins, Leroy, are, I believe, 7.5-point underdogs at home this weekend. Not this weekend, on Thursday night,
so
against the Baltimore Ravens. We expect Lamar Jackson to be back, although you talk about playing fast and loose with the injury report. That was an issue that the NFL is looking into after Lamar Jackson was not available on Sunday, but is probably going to be available on Thursday night. Now, keep in mind, That team had one win when Lamar was playing, obviously he gives them a better chance to win than Tyler Huntley does.
Let's do it this way. Let's keep it real, right? We talk about what the Dolphins, we've talked about the Dolphins and the things that they did well and the things that they've struggled with all year, because they're the local team.
Yeah.
But let's not sit here and act like Lamar's back. They gonna all of a sudden be good because their defense has been a sieve.
Wait a minute now.
Their defense has been a sieve.
Up until the last two games. They're starting to get their guys back. Roquan Smith came back. Marlon Humphrey's back. Hamilton, Kyle Hamilton is back. And they just got a safety, so now he could play that.
Okay. Until
this happened to them last year as well. Their defense was a sieve, and then all of a sudden they started playing better towards the second half of the season.
Right. But, all right. No, listen. Here's what I will say. I will say Baltimore is still Baltimore. Right? And that some kind of way, when we get to the end of the year, they going to be in the mix some kind of way. It's the same way I feel about Pittsburgh every year. I'm going to say the same thing about Baltimore. It's just how they do business. However, most of the time, it has been because their defense has kept them in a lot of these games. And this is seeing this defense through the first eight games is not something that I'm used to seeing out of Baltimore, and that's something that's different. Keep in mind, even with Lamar, they weren't good early on in the year.
Right.
So I'm not saying, listen, I'm still going to treat Baltimore like Baltimore, but I'm saying I need to see something against – you know,
quality competition
before I'm just saying, oh, they got guys back. They're back.
The problem is, do you consider Vlad the Dolphins to be quality
that's
competition?
That's what I'm saying. Because
that's the question.
I'm not saying that at all.
Here's the thing though.
Right.
They're 7.5 point favorites.
I'm take the Dolphins.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I'm taking the Dolphins at +7.5 because road teams on Thursday nights don't usually do well. I'm not saying the Ravens won't win, but I think 7.5 is too big of a point spread.
I mean, these are the games where I throw just a little baby chili pepper on Dolphins straight up. Nothing big, little chili pepper so I can have an interest.
+300, I think, in the money line.
Huh?
Here's one thing I know.
+300 money line, so put the little chili pepper on
Baltimore is definitely handing the ball to Derrick Henry to run.
Yeah.
Not like Atlanta, but who did not hand the ball off.
Well, that's because he was getting – look, if you think Miami's defense swarm tackled last week, and they did, it was something I hope somebody sent the memo in that it's going to require even more of that effort this week.
Yeah,
I just hope they sent the memo.
Derrick Henry gonna run over some guy.
I just hope they sent the memo. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Like, okay, listen, Bijan, he's cool, great, you know, does a lot of things. Derrick Henry is equivalent to Junior Hill at running back. Right, that's how big he is. Not skill.
Oh,
I'm just saying size.
Okay.
So just size, Vlad.
Okay. I mean, you didn't say that word. That was a key word to say that.
He's the same size as Julian. Yeah. It's just like trying to tackle Julian Hill from running back position. That's all I'm saying. That's the first name that came to mind that, you know, similar size. So, but it's going to take a lot of it, a lot of that swarm tackling again. And the one thing that I would say was extremely impressive, because it was something I hadn't seen all year, right, was the fact that they were swarming to the ball and getting tackles and weren't a lot of broken tackles. That was the most effort that I've seen them play with. That was the most I've seen them run to the football. That was the best job they've done setting the end of the line of scrimmage on defense. So hopefully that'll pick up.
Wait a minute.
What's up?
I have a theory.
What's the theory?
They played like a team on Sunday, right? In all three fashions.
For once, yeah.
For once,
they played
right?
Like it was 2023 again. That was the best game they played in 2 years.
It was a road game, right?
Uh-huh.
And Tua got pink eye.
He needs to have pink eye every game.
Where can you go on the road, especially a city like Atlanta, and get the pink eye and have a
team bonding experience.
Hold He's on. A family man. Watch Hold your on. Mouth, Vlad.
Hold on. First of all, it's not pink eye. Because pink eye is contagious.
Well, yes.
And if he would have got pink eye the night before the game, he would not have played.
Well, they called it pink eye, so we're saying pink
eye. I don't know.
Eye,
that's why he only got sacked once. The Falcons didn't want to get too close. I mean, if it wasn't pink eye, whatever it was,
it was a
Tua needs to be playing with a visor and with an eye patch for the rest of the season.
It was a magical performance.
We need him to squint more.
It was a magical performance by the team on Sunday. It looked like to me a team that went to a adult establishment and had a team bonding experience.
One-eyed Tua. He was born in the wrong century. Would have made a great Tua. Pirate. Let's get to our weather report, which is sponsored by ChillZone AC, featuring reliable Root AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit ChillZoneAC.com. All right, Leroy, I am looking at 83 degrees, mm-hmm. cloudy skies, mm-hmm. With a high of 86 later on today. Does my math check out? Is my
that
math check mathing?
Out. That checks out. I would say just based on what I'm seeing outside, though, you might get a little stray shower. It did rain a little bit when I was coming in. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking. There is a 40% chance of rain at times today, so I think you're spot on with that. Meanwhile, we'll talk when we come back. Miami Hurricanes have a road trip coming up on Saturday. Miami needs to win out. More than likely, need to win out to get to the college football playoff. Hurricanes are favored by 10.5 points in Dallas against SMU. We'll talk about it next right here. Tobin and Leroy Show. Dono in for Tobin on 104.3 WQAM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Tobin and Leroy Show, FM 104.3 WQAM. I am Alex Dono. We got Leroy Horde. We got Vlad. We got Jay Figg. Miami Hurricanes take on SMU this Saturday. So, Leroy, Carson Beck just spoke to the media mm-hmm. a few minutes ago. So, mm-hmm. pulling up some of the quotes here, he talked about SMU's defense. Now, SMU's defense, it's kind of like you can cherry pick some stats that make them look incredible. You can cherry pick other stats that make them look awful.
When you're playing them, you pick the stats that make them look good. You're never going to go out on the podium and say,
no, of course. Like right. Carson Beck basically said, these are the 85 Bears that we're going up against, is basically what he said. But so if you look at on one number, Leroy, SMU is 134th in the country against the pass out of 134 teams. They give up about 305 passing yards per game. Now, on the other hand, SMU has been elite when it comes to forcing takeaways. They've got 12 interceptions on the year and 8 fumble recoveries, which is a lot. So here's what Carson Beck said. They do a really good job. In my opinion, it's one of the best defenses in the country and definitely one of the best defenses in the nation if you look at it from turnovers and their defensive line. He also said, and you can comment on this, Leroy, when teams play zone coverage is more of their base, they're going to get more interceptions. That's the name of the game. More eyes on the quarterback. You have to be extremely accurate on time and try not to force things. So I guess that's why SMU has 12 INTs already.
No, I would.
No?
I would say it's two. There's some of that.
Yeah.
Right? The fumbles part of it is the part I would concentrate on, not the picks.
Yeah.
Because when you're the worst in the league, in the country at passing, a lot of these coaches are throwing the ball all over the lot, so you have more opportunities to get picks. So let's just say a team that normally throws it 20 times a game and runs it 30 times a game, now they're throwing it 35 times a game and only running it 15 times, right? And you get more opportunities for picks and things like that, and sacks and strip fumbles, because you're putting yourself there because you've seen the stats that say they are terrible at pass defense. So that's how you kind of look at that. I would still say for Miami, it's going to be run and play action.
Yes.
Okay. So you want to change the eyes of that defense. You want to make them looking in the wrong places, ram the ball down their throat, right? And then they come up and they're looking for that running back to get the ball, and then boom, play action. You get them that way. Now, that's the other thing. What part of this is play action, and what part of this is just shotgun throwing the football? Because if you're a team that gives up 305 yards, but it's all because you're trying so hard to stop the run and you get hit with a bunch of big plays in play action.
And I figure that's what SMU's going to try to do. Like, they're going to go heavy box like every team does against Miami, because teams always key in on the run.
All right. Hey, say SMU was 90th in total yards allowed per game.
I mean, Beck is an idiot, he said.
But keep in mind, let me explain something to people.
Yeah.
Like, this is why this becomes, of course he's lying. Of course they sit back in the huddle and say, and they go to practice and say, we should get him.
Sure.
But you don't want to hear that. Fans, look.
Yeah.
You call him a liar. You call him a liar, but you don't want to hear him say that. What you thinking?
No.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Right.
How these guys? If Carson Beck had come out and said, "You know what? I watched the tape. Their defense is really bad. We're going to light them up."
Right.
How would people respond to that? He would get killed.
Right. So, like, this is one of the problems I have when guys talk. Like, you want to say something nice about your opponent, and you want to kind of exaggerated to give them a false sense of security, right? You can't win, man. You can't win. When is a coach or a player ever come out and say, you know what? Hey, they're gettable. We got it. Like,
if we're ripping Tua for being too forthcoming,
right?
Ripping Beck for being too much of an athlete, too much of a player, you're not going to disrespect the other team.
Right.
98% of the time, you're not going to disrespect the other team, especially
the
quarterback.
I'm pretty sure he said Bethune-Cookman has one of the best defenses in the country.
He's going to say that every opponent.
Do you not understand? Wait, for you guys who've been around sports enough, right, and listen to athletes enough, do you not get it? Every week you playing against the Super Bowl champs, because you don't want to give them nothing. Like, could you imagine Carson Beck said, look, we should be able to run the hell out of it because they are a sieve on defense. What if he went and said that?
Yeah.
Right? Listen, wait a minute. They were a 30-point favorite against Stanford.
Yeah.
And you would have never known it. You thought it was a toss-up listening to them talk last week. That's what they do. Yeah. That's what they do. So, look. We can do it, right? We can do it. But again, sometimes the numbers get skewed, because you might play a team that only passes the ball and doesn't run it, so it makes your run numbers look good and your pass numbers look bad.
Better. They're in like the 30s or 40s against the run, and in the 130s against the pass.
Right. So from that standpoint, and then again, you're putting yourself in harm's way. Listen, I was always told when you pass the ball, only three things can happen, and two of them aren't good.
Yeah.
So when you open yourself up to it thinking, oh, we should be able to throw, Malachi Toney should have himself a day, and you open yourself up to that and then strip sack fumble, right? So you have to still stick with your game plan, I'm more than sure. that they're going out of their way. And here's what, if I'm SMU, here's what I'm saying. The only chance we have to win, if you're SMU, is to stop the run and be definitive with that and force Carson Beck to drop back 40 times.
That's how Louisville won. Louisville stopped the run, and they turned Miami over four times.
Correct. So, and now if you're Miami, you're saying we have to establish the run so that we can then play action. We don't want to be in a situation where we're just dropping back and throwing the football. We want to still have those options open on every play. And that's how this thing goes.
Well, and I want to ask you as a running back, because people have been, you know, in my comments for weeks, just really going after Shannon Dawson, the OC, and Mario Cristobal for not calling enough runs to the outside. And Dawson was asked about it yesterday. He got a little fiery about it, just kind of explaining, you know, the scheme, that they're running the football within their scheme, and that a lot of times, you know, within their running scheme, it's up to the running back to make his read, identify which gap he's going to hit based on the blocking and what the defense is showing him. So a lot of these runs can go inside or outside. And, you know, Dawson basically took the media to school, you know, on the play design being what it is. So your thought on that, Leroy, like, should they be designing more plays to get to the outside, or are things going accordingly according to the scheme so far?
Let me give you the bit. Here's the thing about running back. You don't know where you're going to run the football when you get it.
Right.
The blocking scheme is such that it may be designed to go somewhere, but you run with your eyes.
And that's what Dawson was saying.
And exactly. so to say, like me personally, when I play running back, I always wanted a play that started inside. Here's why. Mm-hmm. If I'm starting downhill, it gives me the flexibility to go back, to cut back, to bounce outside. If I start outside on the outside zone, it cuts away half of the area that I can run.
Yeah.
And so just because a play is called to go straight ahead doesn't mean it's going to go straight ahead. In fact, if you look at a lot of the successful running backs in the league, very rarely does it go exactly where it's planned to go. There's a rule. The O-lineman used to always tell you where to run. I turn my guy this way. I turn my guy that way. I'm like, yeah, there's five other guys with you. Right? So you made a damn block. Great for you. What about the other guys? Just stay on your guy. It's my job to figure it out. But guess what I can't figure out? Free guy. So if everybody's on a man, if everybody's pushing their man, if the team block to the linebacker is on the other line, on the other side of the line of scrimmage and not in our backfield, you'll find an open area. That's the running back's job. No plays are designed. No plays end up going exactly where they do. So when people say inside run, inside run, inside run, I would rather all inside runs. I would rather all plays to go inside the tackle because it gives you the flexibility to run. When you start to run a toss outside, you've cut off half the field. Yeah. So you're almost hamstringing yourself.
Yeah.
So when he runs those inside plays, it's to give the running back flexibility to be able to run anywhere. So enough with that. Stop it. Why did he run all these plays inside? Stop. Just because it goes there doesn't mean it starts there or it ends up there.
Right.
Oh.
I love that. Well, when we come back, we'll stick on college football because this is the craziest coaching carousel probably ever. You know, with Brian Kelly fired at LSU, Billy Napier recently fired at Florida, the Penn State job is open for a little while. There's other jobs that could come open later on in the year. What's the best available job and why? You want to keep it locked right here We're only getting started on this episode of Tobin and Leroy. Dono filling in for Tobin. We got Leroy, we got Jay Fig, we got Vlad here on 104.3 WQAM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back into the Tobin and Leroy Show. Alex Dono in for Tobin today. We got Leroy, we got Jay Fig, we got Vlad. By the way, folks, the Miami Heat are offering fans value deals, like a $60 pizza deal, four pizzas, chips, waters, and a $40 hot dog deal, four hot dogs, popcorn, drinks. Grab-and-go stands on the 400 level also have $3 sodas, $8 beers, and $3 snacks. Kids can enjoy $15 Bernie meals with a hot dog or chicken nuggets, a souvenir cup, fruit snacks, and a silicone bracelet. For information on food and beverage deals, visit KaseyaCenter.com.
Good food, man.
So,
hey, real quick.
I love that.
Can I respond? Yeah. Can I respond to Jay Tolls 85 on YouTube? So he said, Leroy, you got on Mike McDaniel about the type of runs he called at the beginning of the year. That's because he ran with A-Chan and he ran outside. And all he did was outside stuff. You know what the coolest play in football right now is?
What?
Toss counter.
Yes.
And you know why?
Toss counter.
You know why? I asked my coach, could I do that when I was playing? And he said, no, it's ridiculous. Here's why. As a linebacker, as soon as you see the toss, you haul ass.
Yes.
And now you're going back the other way. You have moved a guy with a toss. Now that play could go inside, it could go outside, but it starts straight ahead in between the tackles. I get mad at Mike McDaniel for running all these sweeps and toss or whatever. It may work once. It may work twice. But as soon as they see that's what you plan on doing, it's easy for those fast guys on defense to go and turn you in inside. If A-Chan's good with his eyes, if these running backs are good with their eyes, right, why take that away from them by making them run and cutting away half of the field? So I get mad at Mike McDaniel for the stupid little quick passes outside, right? Everybody in the league knows that's what you're going to do now.
Yeah.
And what is the worst thing in the world for this offense to be in? Second and 13.
Yes.
So when you run those tosses, when you run those sweeps, when you run these things and you end up second and 13, it's the worst thing for this offense.
It's the worst thing for a lot of offenses.
A lot of offenses.
This one especially.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's why I get on Mike McDaniel about the outside plays. Periodically, it may work. Right? But when you start throwing those quick, somebody almost got a pick last night on a quick pass to the outside. Enough. The league has caught up with that. Try something different. Everybody. So, yeah.
So meanwhile, in college football, you know, Jimmy Sexton is the super agent who represents all the big-name coaches. It is Jimmy Sexton's season. This dude is going to be making his money again. So right now, the three big jobs, there's like a dozen jobs open right now in FBS football, but the three big jobs that are open, Leroy, the Penn State job has been open for a couple weeks now. I rank that one number three out of the top three. I might be a little anti-Big Ten bias, so you might set me straight on this one. I just think that in terms of, like, living there and not having like a hotbed of recruits in the area, to me, knocks it down a peg compared to the others. I've got the Florida job. I've got it ranked second. Now, Penn State paid James Franklin like $50 million to go away. Florida is paying Billy Napier $21 million to not work. And then LSU, which I think is the best job open right now, just paid Brian Kelly $54 million to stop work. Being a fired college coach is the best job if you can get it. But here's, like, Leroy, my thinking on why I think the LSU job is slightly better right now than the Florida job, and I know Gator fans get very angry when people say this because to them it's the best job in college football. But the reason why I rank LSU slightly higher than Florida right now is, number one, I think the current team is slightly closer to championship level than Florida. So in the short term, a coach who takes the job may think about that. And then number two is, Leroy, while Florida and Louisiana are two of the best high school recruiting states, you'd probably say Florida is slightly better. It's a bigger state, more volume. Louisiana, really good per capita.
They have more per capita.
Better than anyone. But here's the thing about Louisiana, though. When you're the head coach at LSU, you have no in-state competition for Louisiana recruits. Where you're the head coach at Florida, you've got big-time in-state competition from Miami and Florida State, right, where LSU can run that state. Those are the reasons why I think LSU is the slightly bigger job than Florida. But do you agree with LSU 1, Florida 2, Penn State 3?
I would put Florida 3rd.
Ooh.
And here's why. Because but there's a caveat to this. I know LSU is going to get the NIL money. They're going to spend money. I was down there. Not a problem. Right? I don't know what the issue is at Penn State, and I don't know what the issue is at Florida, right? But if they got money to give $50 million for a coach to go away, then they got to have some NIL money. Florida just seems like they have their runs, but they're never, like, there consistently, mm-hmm. right? LSU is always there.
Yeah.
Like, you LSU is always
problem. They've got three different national championship winning coaches in the last 20 years, yep. right? Saban,
Les Miles,
Coach O.
And Coach O. And only one of them ended up coaching somewhere else. That's crazy, right? And that's Saban.
Yeah.
I would say Florida is kind of a up and down thing. Like, they've had their runs, but there's been a lot of schools like that. I don't think of Florida. When I think of Florida, besides those Tim Tebow moments or the Steve Spurrier, I don't think of, well, anybody who's come here, or they've won with several different coaches in a short period of time because they're getting the talent. I don't look at it that way.
Right.
Penn State, you're in Pennsylvania, dude. There's talent there in Ohio, Michigan, you know, the Midwest. They're getting talent. I think they should get rid of them damn uniforms and stop using practice jerseys. Maybe you can entice kids to go there a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a little bland, right? Those uniforms.
And so I would say Penn State, but Florida just like, no, Florida, like, okay, when was the last time Florida, Tim Tebow?
Yeah, Tebow.
Okay, how long ago was that?
Tebow and Herb.
How long ago was that?
What was it like?
2005,
or early 2010s, like 2011, 2012?
No, before that, dude.
No, it had to be 05, 07, like around that time.
09, maybe?
Probably.
I'll say 09.
Because he was in the NFL by 2011.
So I think 09. I think 09.
Okay.
Is the date
so that's what? 16 years?
Yeah.
Okay, stop. Okay, think about that. Penn State, whether you think it's a good job or not, every year they're in the top five.
Yeah.
So they can fire a coach because they think that coach can get them over the hump.
06
I don't know.
09 was Tebow.
06 to 09, right?
Right.
When you think of LSU.
06, Tebow played, but like that was when they won with Chris Leak one of those years, but Tebow was like the gadget guy, but then Tebow won in 09.
Right. So there you go. 09. When you think of LSU, right? When you think of Penn State hasn't won it, but they're there, right? They're in the Big Ten. They're competing. When I say Florida, how many years do you get to say, well, Tim Tebow came here? That was 16 years ago. He won a first championship when he wasn't the quarterback almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You ain't been nothing since. Stop telling me about what Florida has to offer. And you're running up through coaches like you think you should be something more than you are.
Yeah.
So that might be the problem, though.
They've hired some pretty crappy coaches.
You know what? Billy Napier might be who you deserve.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, when you think about Florida football, and you could go up to Georgia, you could go to Louisiana, you're up far enough north where you might be able to dip into those.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, Georgia, Louisiana.
Georgia, Louisiana.
Sure. Yeah.
Who's leaving their state school to go to Florida? Who's leaving Florida State, Miami? Who's leaving those schools? Hell, USF has had a better showing than Florida recently. So, you might be fourth on the list. So it's either one or two ways you can go about it. Spend a whole bunch of money in NIL or just ride it out till you get one of them coaches that can recruit. Right?
Yeah.
Because as of right now,
somebody's calling us Miami homers. Now maybe you could say that to me. I've got an actual oil painting of
I would say this
Miami player.
I would
but
say
you can't say it about Leroy.
I would say this that and sometimes you guys should listen, okay? Because I said, or get you a coach that can recruit. And I would tell you, you can say what you want about the Miami coach. He can recruit his ass off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he can. Okay? I think we're going to get another one tonight, by
and
the way.
So from that standpoint, you keep getting the talent here, you're going to be competitive. And so what I say to you is this. Who you got to bring in to get people to go past those other three schools in the state and come to Florida who hasn't been relevant since Tim Tebow? Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you on the other side who Gator fans will say. Well, I needed to make Jay Figg smile this hour, so we're going to hit the break on time. Noon hour of Tobin and Leroy coming your way next here on FM 104.3 WQAM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.